Okay, Chevra. In order to do tonight's Gemara, we're gonna kind of read the Gemara quickly. Then we'll look back at Rashi, and then we're going to get into this Tosfos. To understand this Gemara, we really have to kind of just keep on reading. I believe I did this in last week's or 2 weeks ago's Mari Makomos. I wrote something like "Get to the top of Yud Tes Amud Aleph." There's just a ton of Gemara to do, and then we'll also go back to the Rashi and our Mishnah and the Taisis. But let's learn some Gemara. Itmar. 2 lines from the bottom of Yud Ches Amud Aleph. Sit. Itmar. Si kei chagabe achsad sheyesh la pitzimin kasher kshera she'ein la pitzimin. So Abaye says it's kshera. Rava says it's psula. Okay, so the case is that you put schach on top of an achsadra that has pitzimin, so that's going to be okay. If it does not have pitzimin, so then there's a machlokes between Abaye and Rava, right? Abaye says it's kosher because, as the Gemara says, as we turn over to Amud Beis, we say pi tikra yored v'sosim. We say that the ceiling drops. Rava says it's possible because we don't say pi tikra yored v'sosim. So the Gemara is very simple. Let's kind of try to draw this to the best of our ability. Okay, so here it goes. A sukkah has to have 3 walls. Now, what I have over here is a portico. That's the official term. Right, which means that I'm going to make this area, I'll maybe draw a different color for it. This area is going to be my sukkah, the area in between here. Imagine that this area on the side is the stuff in green is a roof. It's a ceiling. And I have homes all on the sides over here. That's basically the case. So this is called a portico, right? In rabbinic Hebrew, a portico was called, right? There's like a funny word that Tosfos refers to, and Rashi on Yud Zayin refers to it also. If you look at Rashi on Yud Zayin, the same chotzer hamukefes achsadra. Right, I have a courtyard here. Turn to Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. I have a courtyard that is surrounded by an achsadra. What this means is Zakt Rashi. You have Rashi in Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Kol chatzar shebashas lifnei habatim. The courtyards are in front of homes. Vahabatim psuchim lo, and the homes open into the chatzar. Chatzar zu mukefes batim mitocha. Lo sabiv. Right, so you have a courtyard, and the homes open to the courtyard on three sides. All is grand. Ruchoseha. They make porticos, so it's like a ceiling on top. I might have to ask someone else to draw porticos because I'm not so good at the art, but basically it's like this. Let's just take a deep breath and we'll try this. As a matter of halacha, if I have a ceiling that is less than 4 amos, I say dofen akuma. If the ceiling is more than 4 amos, I do not say dofen akuma. Now, in our case, I'm going to want my sukkah to be that red shaded area in between, right? This is going to be my sukkah. The green shaded area, right? This area is a home. This area is a home, right? What I have is an area that's shaded green. That's ceiling. And the ceiling is more than 4 amos. And what I have is l'cha'ora. I can't have a sukkah here, no? Because I can't say dofen akuma. Since this is more than 4 amos, right? There's more than four animals of shaded green. So I can't say dolphin akuma. So my schach in the middle, my red stuff in the middle, is not kosher as a sukkah, correct? Excellent. Now, what I have, however, right, and that's what Rashi tells me on Yud Zayin and Oren Aleph. I have the mechitzos of the homes, that's mafsik, between the home and the achsadra. Vinim says, tukaras achsadra mafsik is subib, bein schach l'defanos. So, im yesh baruch of achsadra dalan amos psula. If you have four amos around it, it's puzzle. Pachos me arba amos ksheira, damin and dofen akuma. Dugma ledavar, zakt Rashi, is a cloister b'lashon Ashkenaz. You see that word? Any of you live in the Heights? Right? Two out of three? So a cloister is not what it means in Fort Tryon Park. Cloister over here is an architectural term, which is the same as a portico, or it is an area that is covered over. That's a cloister. So what you have is, right, look at Rashi. Rashi in Yudzayin says it's a cloister b'loshen Ashkenaz. In the German language, it's cloister. She eza umos heim hagalochim sheyesh la'avir sheyesh ba'asavim vehekif achsadra saviv lo. Rashi says that there are certain nations, she eza umos heim hagalochim. What's galochim in Rashi in Yudzayin? A galach is technically a priest. What Rashi is saying is as follows, that the priests used to be cloistered in monasteries, no? The term cloister means that they are on their own. They are secluded from the rest of the planet, and they would be cloistered in a monastery. The way it looked was that they would have homes, right? These things on the side that I marked with X's, right? That's where they would live. They would have their homes open up to an area that is roofed. And in the middle of that area, right, the roofing would end, let's say, 8-10 feet away, more than Dalet Amos. I can't say Dofen Akuma. And they would have like a greenish, grassy area in the middle. That's the way they lived. So what we are talking about is putting schach on this area, on this cloister type of area, cloister in the architectural sense. So far, so good? Now, let's go back to our Gemara.
Yudchesam et al. Can I ask one quick question? So is Rashi concerned that you're going to try to use a cloister like in his time, or is he trying to draw a parallel with how the Gemara is explaining this?
I think what Rashi is doing is he's trying to do what we're doing now on the whiteboard, which is to create some sort of illustration so that people understand what the case is.
Okay.
So apparently everyone knew what a cloister was. Everyone knew that, you know, you have this covered area, you walk out, and there is like empty space in the middle. Right? That, so Rashi, to illustrate the case, talks about a cloister. Now, this Rashi is interesting. When Tosis references the Rashi, actually, he leaves out those words that Rashi has in the Mishnah of galochim, of priests. No? If you compare the Rashi and the Mishnah Yud Zayin, right, Rashi says it's a cloister in German of those nations who are the galochim, who are the priests, etc., and that's how they live. Tosvis over here references the Rashi, but he does not quote those key words of cloister and galochim. In traditional Jewish discourse, a priest was either called a komar or a galach. It was called a galach because, unlike Jews who would not shave the sides, Jewish men would not shave the sides of their head, the priests would always shave. Even today, like the priests, Roman Catholic priests tend to be very well shaved, no? Much better shaved than Jews who have, for some reason, Eastern Orthodox have beards, no? But Roman Catholics are called galachim because they are all migulach. Ze zenin upgesharin, right? That's the story. So what we are talking about in our Gemara is as follows. If I have a ceiling of more than four amos, so hasvara nosenes, that the area inside it cannot be good. But if I want to put schach on this area, that svara would say it can't be good because I have more than four amos all the way around it. So I can't say pitikra. Right? That's the idea. How I can't say, excuse me, dofen akuma. But if I have pitsimin, then everyone says it is okay. Pitsimin would mean as follows. You know what? Let me do a different color. What's a good color? Orange. Pitsimin would mean as follows. I have slats that support this middle area, which means that I have the homes, my green, the area next to the green are homes. It opens up into this portico so that people could walk underneath it. The middle area is not just open, but in the middle, I have wooden slats, so to speak, that are there. In that case, this is what our Gemara means. Sikech agave achsadra sheyesh la pitzimin is kosher. If I have slats that support this middle area, if I have my orange slats, so these orange slats that support this will make the middle kosher as a sukkah, because now I can say that these little orange things themselves are the dofen of the sukkah, and I have three walls around this. Again, what I'm trying to do is make a sukkah in this middle area where I made my X, right? Svara no sena said it can't be a good sukkah because I have more than four amos all the way around. But if it is yeshla pitsimin, then it's going to be kosher, because these pitsimin count as the walls, because I say lavad. I see lots of blank stairs. Does someone else want to explain this? Or should I give someone else screen sharing privileges because I have abused mine and I don't know? Is there someone who could describe this better? Zoe, you want to try to take a shot at this?
I don't think I'll do a better diagram, Rabbi Schwartz.
Okay. Rachel, do you want to try this one? How did you explain this? Like, sometimes, like, verbally, during Seder, how did you explain why Yeshla Pitsimin is definitely okay?
Well, I think that we just followed Rashi with the assumption that the Pitsimin were less than three tefachim apart.
Okay.
So that then just have Lavud, which then isn't really... There's no novelty in that regard.
Hey, there's no novelty. In other words, this middle area has halachic walls because of my beautiful lovely picture. So far, so good? If, however, I do not have these pitsimin, if I don't have walls, so then there is a machlokes Then there is going to be the Machlokas Abaye and Rava. So let's draw the picture like this. Again, there's going to be this portico, right? I want the middle area, right, with my X, right, to be, I want this to be my sukkah. I do not have pitzimin, so I don't have any halachic walls around this middle area. So how can it be a kosher as a sukkah? I can't say dofen akuma because there's too much space to say dofen akuma, more than 4 amos. How could it be kosher? So Abaye says it's okay because we use a halachic principle called pi tikra yoreid v'sotem, meaning this ceiling, the end of the ceiling drops down and it creates a halachic wall. Pi tikra yoreid v'sotem means that the ceiling, which is on top of the portico, this area where the galochim walk, right, where all the priests walk over here, there's a covered ceiling. The halacha allows me to drop that end of the ceiling. And therefore, right, this edge will come dropping down. This edge will come dropping down. This will come dropping down. Pi tikra yoreid v'sotem means I am creating halachic walls based on the ceiling dropping. Tanya, you seem awfully confused.
No, I'm good. Rachel was my chavrusa. She's so sharp, so I'm good.
Okay. Right. So Abaye says I use this principle of pi tikra yoreid v'sotem, so I have halachic walls, even though there's no wall. What I have is that the ceiling ended, and when the ceiling ends, I drop the end of the ceiling. Pi tikra, the end of the ceiling, yoreid v'sotem. It comes down and it drops it, and that makes it a kosher sukkah for Abaye. In this middle area is a kosher sukkah because I have 3 walls of pitikra. That's what the Gemara says. Rava, right? Let's just read it now. Yudchesam a base on the top. Rava amar psula, because lo aminan pitikra yareh v'sotem. Rava says it's no good because the halacha does not allow me to drop my ceiling. Pi tikra yoreid v'sotem, according to Rava, is not a thing. So it's then the Gemara says...
Sorry, for Rava, it's not a thing, or it's not a thing in this case?
So the way the Gemara is saying it now is that for Rava, it is not a thing. And the Gemara is going to ask a question about how this connects to the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel about Achsaj Rebbeka, right? So, but for our purposes now, it's not a thing. Rava says there's no such concept as Pi Tikra Yoreid V'sotem. It just doesn't exist. That is what we have so far. Now, 1 second. So now, Amar Le Rava La Abaye. L'didach da amrit pi tikra yorei v'sotem afilo hifchis dofen emtsai. Comes along Rava, and Rava says, Abaye, you hold of pi tikra yorei v'sotem. You hold that the ceiling drops. So if that's the case, maybe even if I don't have a dofen ha'emtsai, maybe even if I don't have a middle wall, this back wall over here, let's say it would not exist, right? Rava asks Abaye, according to you, you say pi tikra yoreid v'sotem. So then the ceiling drops. So this area in the middle is going to be a kosher sukkah. This area in the middle is going to be a kosher sukkah. So Rava asks Abaye, well, why do you need the back wall at all? Even, here, just 1 second. In other words, what Rava is asking Abaye is that if you hold of Pitikra Yorei V'Sosim, so even without the back wall, Lamaisa, I have ceiling A, right? Ceiling B, ceiling C. So let me just say, okay, right? The three ceilings make it a kosher sukkah. So even if I don't have a back wall at all, it should be a kosher sukkah because I have three ceilings. A ceiling is a mechitza, according to Abaye. So Rava asks, Abaye, according to you, that a ceiling is a mechitza, why do you need that back wall? So the Gemara answers, Amar Le, Abaye responded, Modina lach pahahi, dahavale kimavoy mefulash. I agree that if you would not have the back wall, it's no good, because that looks like a mavoy mefulash. Meaning, right? Actually, let's, I'm going to do the eraser. It might be easier. Right? Let's say I don't have this back wall at all. Right? All I have is two walls. But I have three ceilings and two walls. Says Abaye, in that case, it's no good because it's like a mavoy mefulash. It's like an open alleyway. There's like passage all the way through and through. So therefore, it's no good. Because you can't say that the area becomes a private Rishus HaYachid type of thing, a sukkah, if everyone is passing through and through. If there is only a wall on this side and a wall on this side, there's only a wall by A and a wall by C, but there's no wall on the north side, let's say, right? North, south, right? East, west. If there's only a wall on the east and the west, there's no wall on the north, so people are going to walk through from north to south. So in that case, even Abaye, who says Pi Tikra Yorei V'Sotim, would have to agree that it does not count as a mechitza. You cannot say Pi Tikra when there are people who would pass through and through. So effectively, Abaye holds of Pi Tikra. Rava denies Pi Tikra. Abaye theoretically would say Pi Tikra even in the case where there is no third physical wall, right? The case that we have is a portico. Is that the technical understanding? Is that the technical understanding of a portico? It's like this covered area. Yeah, I think that's what it is. So the Mishnah, the Gemara, is talking about a portico when you have walls on three sides. What the Gemara, however, is saying now is that according to Abaye, technically, even if you only have walls on two sides, theoretically it should work. But it does not work in this case because it looks like mavoy mefulash. It looks like it's all open. Deep breath. So far, so good? Zakti gomar weiter. Lema abaye v'rava b'plukta d'rav u'shmuel k'mefoyi. L'cha ora abaye and rava who disagree as to whether I say pitikra, their machlokes should be the same machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. The Itmar. We learned as follows. Achsadra bibika. If I have, how do you translate achsadra?
Well, we can still use portico, can't we?
Yeah, we can still use portico. Okay. But let's say I'm in the middle of a valley, right? And we'll say I have something like this, right? It is basically a covered, it's like a ceiling that is on top of four posts. That's Aksadra Babika. It's in the middle of a whole valley. There's nothing on the side of it. What I have is just like a ceiling. There's going to be a machlokes in Rashi and Tosfos. But according to Rashi, right, the bottom Tosfos, Aksadra Babika, points out that according to Rashi, the case is that there are no real mechitzos at all. All you have is a ceiling. It's supported by, it's like a chuppah. You have a chuppah in the middle of a valley. That's Aksadra Babika. It's just a ceiling, nothing else. So Rav says, Mutar l'taltu b'kulo, daminam pitikra yorvisotem. Ushmo amer imetaltim ba'ela b'dalar amos, delo aminan pitikra yored v'sotem. The question is, can I carry in this area, underneath that chuppah? Am I allowed to carry? So it's a machlokes, Rav and Shmuel. Rav says I can, because Rav says, Pitikra yored v'sotem, right? That the halacha takes my ceiling and it drops it. So now, even though it looks like I have no mechitzos, but I have four mechitzos, because that chuppah, that ceiling, drops down and it creates mechitzos, like my beautiful pink downward arrows. It creates mechitzos. So according to Rav, I'm allowed to carry because pitikra. But according to Shmuel, you can't carry because we don't say pitikra. So this seems to be the same machlokes as Abaye and Rava, right? That according to Rava, we do not say pitikra, and according to Abaye, we do. L'cha'ora, this is exactly the same machlokes Rav and Shmuel. So the Gemara says, no, Aliba de Shmuel kuli amalo pligi. Shmuel says that you're not allowed to carry. Shmuel denies pitikra entirely. Everyone, no one would disagree within the shita of Shmuel. Ki pligi aliba de Rav, the top of your testament aleph. The only machlokis is within Rav, again, that Rav says pitikra in this case, where I just have like what we call the chuppah. So Rav says pitikra. Abaye says, oh, I go like Rav. Abaye karav. Right? Abaye says, oh, I say pitikra in our case, in the portico, whatever it is, where the galochim are. Remember when I was in yeshiva in Israel, actually, one of the buildings was built like this. It was like such a strange thing. The yeshiva library, to get into it, you like go through front, you go through these doors and you walk into the doors. There's like classrooms on the side and there's like palm trees built in the middle of like this area. They thought it looked nice. And the library is all the way in the back. And that's sort of the case in our Gemara of Sikei Hagabe Achsadra. That's that case. The Gemara wants to say that this is the same machlokes as Rav and Shmuel have. That by Achsadra Bibika, according to Rav, I say pitikra. According to Shmuel, I don't say pitikra. So Zakhi Gmar Lachaora, the Machlokes Abaye and Rava is the same as the Machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. The Gemara says, no, according to Shmuel, that we do not say pitikra. So everybody holds, you don't say pitikra. The machlokes is within Rav, that you do say pitikra. Abaye says, I go like Rav. Rav Amar, no. Ad kan lo ka amar Rav hosam al de mechitzos la achsadra hu da avidi. Ava hocha de lav la hochi avidi lo. Meaning, comes along Rava, and Rava says, you know what? Rav says you say pitikra in this case, because the whole purpose of that ceiling is for the space underneath the ceiling. If you have a chuppah in the middle of a valley, the chuppah, that piece of cloth, is there to protect the area underneath that cloth. So that's why it's a good mechitza, according to Rav. That's why I say, Pitikra Yored V'Sotem. However, when it comes to our case, right? When it comes to our case, where I have the ceiling, right? The ceiling goes all the way around. Is the intention of the ceiling for the space under the ceiling? Or is the intention of the ceiling to create a mechitza for this space? Zakt Rava, the mechitzas in our cloister, the intention is not for the area that you want to have schach. The mechitzas on the cloister, meaning the ceiling, right? We're saying a ceiling counts as a mechitza. Pitikra yared v'sotem. A ceiling counts as a mechitza. But a ceiling only counts as a mechitza where the idea is to use the area underneath that ceiling. But in the case of the cloister, where the purpose of the ceiling is not for the schacht area, it's not for the area in between, that area with the palm trees in the middle. The purpose of the ceiling is for the area on the sides, so that's why Rava does not say Pi Tikra Yoreda Sotain. Rava would say, although I agree with Rav, that I could say Pi Tikra Yored V'Sotem with that chuppah in the middle of a valley. But that's because the chuppah middle of the valley, the purpose of that chuppah, the purpose of that piece of cloth is for the area underneath it. But over here, the purpose is not for the, right? Over here, I don't care. My goal is to have mechitzos for that X in the middle, for my sukkah in the middle. And I can't use the dropped ceiling because it does not help for the middle. The dropped ceiling, the ceiling to count as a mechitza helps for the sides, not for the middle. Whew. I feel like it's taking me a lot of energy to explain this. There has to be an easier way to explain this. I'm doing the best I can.
So if we have the case of the sort of chuppah case, as you're referring to it, if that, I'm trying to figure out if it's possible to create that ceiling from schach. Like, is that feasible? Because I like what this seems to be pointing at is that if you tried to do the case of the chuppah with schach, it wouldn't hold together. You wouldn't have anything keeping those poles together. Like one of the functions of the cloth is to sort of keep the structure intact. Is that one way to understand this?
I mean, I don't think it's a practical matter. Like I could theoretically have schach that's supported here. Right? Let's say this is schach. And I have four poles that support it. Right? I could have, right? This could be the schach, and it's somehow supported. Right? It's not just because it's a cloth and the sticks hold it taut. Let's say I have like small pieces of wood around it, and the schach is supported, is hanging on these four, posts, on the chuppah poles. That would be okay, possibly, because the intention of the schach is for the area underneath it. But in the case that we are drawing, the case like this, right, where you want to make your sukkah over here, so then the ceiling is not intended for that area where the X is. Did I just answer your question, Zoe, or not completely?
I guess in the case of the schach on your chuppah structure, would you then be able to say pitikra is my question?
So could I say pitikra on schach? So that's a big machlekes harishonim. Whether in order to say pitikra, it has to be a single surface, or could you say pitikra, could the schach itself be pitikra when the schach is made out of tiny little branches? Right? That's, if you look in the Ritva over here, and footnote 318 in the Ritva, he has a lengthy discussion about that question. The pashtus would be, if you would just ask me intuitively, I'd say, what difference does it make if it's like a flat, pure, clean surface, or if there's lots of little little poles? What difference does it make, right? If it's like little bamboo sticks, or if it's just a flat thing, it shouldn't matter. They should both be okay. But nonetheless, it's a machlekes harishonim that maybe the schach itself cannot count as the pitikra. Again, if we would be creative in terms of the way we set up the Gemara, in the case where the Gemara discusses, like, if the back wall is missing, that shouldn't I say pitikra? The Gemara says, it becomes like a mavli mefulash. In that case, also, depending on whether the schach counts as pitikra, you could read that Gemara in two separate ways, but let's hold that for right now. Okay, so version one of the Gemara is that Abaye and Rava disagree about whether I say pitikra yorei v'sotem. Everybody might hold like Rav, that in the chuppah case, in the achsadra bebika case, I say pitikra yoreid v'sotein. But that's because in that case, the ceiling is protecting the area underneath it. But in the case that we are addressing, the ceiling is not protecting the area underneath it. The ceiling is underneath the schach. The ceiling is protecting the area around the schach, so that's why it's no good. But as our Gemara noted, if you have pitzimin, if you have these little lovod structures holding it up, then for sure it's good. That's version one of the Gemara. Tanan, let's go on. You test them off like four lines from the top. I forgot where I told you to stop. But if I told you to stop over here, I probably should have meant to go on for five or six more lines, and then we'll have to go back. Tanya, that looks like a hint.
Yeah, before we go on, just the lema by Rava, the Rashis that seem to imply that maybe one would have pitikra yoreid v'sotem even in a case where you just have a couple walls, but not where you need them for all three walls, and how that fits in with the flow of the Gemara.
That's going to be the issue that Tosfos on the bottom, Tosfos on Yud Chasam Beis, picks up on.
But Rashi talks about it.
Lema Abaye V'Rava. Right. Rashi has a suggestion that maybe the reason for Rava not saying pitikra yorid v'sotem is because, as a concept, we can't say pitikra on all the sides. Maybe you could say pitikra on one side, but not on all of the sides. And if that's the case, that would be exactly the dispute between Rav and Shmuel in my chuppah case. That in the chuppah case, Rav says, I say pitikra on all four sides. Meaning, according to Rashi, it's inconceivable that we would not hold of pitikra at all. But maybe the reason why Rava does not say pitikra in this case over here Maybe the reason why Rav would not say Pitikra over here is because you have to say Pitikra too many times.
Rachel and I were talking about Pitikra as the same as good achis. And we were wondering, because when we had talked about good asik and good achis, we talked about them as accepted. So even when we wanted to come up with a case where it wasn't, didn't we say, well, it's just a concept that comes up, so we accept it. So in that case, let's just go slowly.
Good achis and good asik means that I have a mechitza, which is vertical, right? I have a vertical mechitza. Do I allow my vertical mechitza to imaginarily go up? That's called good asik. Good achis is I have a vertical mechitza that's hanging. Do I allow it to imaginarily go down? Do I draw the dotted line down? That's talking about verticals. Now we are talking about a horizontal. I have a ceiling. Do I say that the edge of the ceiling can create an imaginary mechitza going down or not? That I drop the ceiling edge. That's the question of Pitikra Yored V'Sotem. Now I have my horizontal chuppah, my ceiling, but it ends. Do I drop it from the end point? That's the question. And so that's very different than the question. On a certain level, there's a similarity, but unlike the goods, where if you have the goods, you're going in the same direction as the mechitza. But in this case, I'm not going in the same direction as the mechitza. My mechitza, so to speak, is my horizontal, right? Now I want to say, oh, it's the end of the horizontal. Do I drop it?
I'm sorry, Rachel. I just wanted to, there was one point in Rashi where it said that the tip of the beams terminates. So it was kind of talking about the thickness. So that, I think that's why we thought it was the same plane. Said something like Ove Bakora.
Yeah, so the point is that what I'm doing is I'm saying that this edge, the last point, will drop down. But it still is.
So that it is a vertical.
So that is a discussion, a further discussion we shine. I mean, Shulchan Aruch we paskin that even if you say Pitikra V'Yorid V'Sotem, it has to be that there's a pet. Right? Let's say it's a ceiling like, or it's a roof like this. It's a triangular roof. So then we will not say that it drops. That's the point that Rashi is making. That to say Pitikra has to be a flat roof, not a slanty roof. Rachel, you had a comment before?
Yeah, maybe not remembering correctly, but I thought that when we had a situation of good asik, like, I don't know, maybe it was like hay or something like that, it was like kind of like this slippa, it was like on a roof or something, and there was four posts. Am I getting that totally wrong? Didn't we like basically have the same chuppah situation?
I'm just losing my concentration. There's a little guy behind me. Okay, I'll give you in like 2 minutes, okay? Give me a few minutes. Yes, give me like 10 minutes. I'm sorry, Rachel. I lost my concentration. What were you saying?
Maybe I'm not remembering correctly, but I thought that the first time that we had, or one of the situations that we had, we used good asik, like way back, I don't know, maybe it was like hay or about time. Wasn't it kind of like this chuppah, but it was on the roof of, or it was on the roof of a building or something, or it was like porch-like? Wasn't it this exact situation, or am I totally...
Right, so what we had over there was if I have a ceiling and I... Can I continue the walls from the building, continue them all the way up? Or if I have some posts, on top of the ceiling, does that allow me to continue the walls of the building? I have a roof on top of a building. Do I allow the walls of the building to continue going up, right, on the ceiling?
Okay. Yeah. So there was pre-existing walls, so to speak. So.
There were pre-existing walls in those cases, right? I only can say the good achis, good asik, where I have some sort of mechitza, and I am going in the same direction as that mechitza, right? That's the halacha of good. In this case, I am using a ceiling, a flat horizontal thing, and I'm using the horizontal to create a vertical mechitza.
Can I ask just a more fundamental question? Is there any kind of rule about how many of your walls can be like
make believe?
Sure. Halakha.
I say either. So that's, again, that issue, Rav and Shmuel, the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel about achsadra bebika. So the way Rashi learns, there are zero mechitzos, zero real mechitzos. And even so, according to the opinion of Rav, I will say P, Tikra, Yerid V'Sosim on all four sides. Tosfos says, we do not allow you to say P, Tikra on all four sides. It can't be that everything is imaginary.
I have actually a clarifying question. So Rava, though, is speaking to carrying, right? Am I remembering that correctly?
Rav and Shmuel are talking about, can you carry underneath that chuppah?
Okay. My question is specifically to do with sukkah, because there are requirements, like carrying, there are requirements of what you need, but we can, you know, come up with, like, you know, in Erevin, we talk about how you can create structures that mimic walls, if you like. However, a sukkah like sort of requires a wall, it feels like, in a slightly different way. And I'm wondering if that's part of the distinction here, that to be able to carry on Shabbat could have different, yes. It just could be a different wall, yeah?
So Rav Soloveitchik in his Shiurim used to speak about that Shabbos and sukkah both have to have walls, but they have different sorts of walls. His expression was that maybe by Shabbos you need what he called mechitzos, but by sukkah he said you need a dofen. Like, that was just like using a different Hebrew word to express the idea that you're bringing out, that to express the idea that maybe by sukkah the area has to be more enclosed than it does by Shabbos. Maybe you need more physical structure by sukkah than you do by Shabbos. For that reason, like a Tzuras HaPesach, right? I enclose the whole city with this, you know, post and little string all the way on top of it. We're not going to say that that works for a sukkah, right? We're not going to say that you're allowed to build a sukkah just with the Tzuras HaPesach, right? Because sukkah requires more structural integrity. That's the way the Rav said it. But that is kind of, at this point in the Gemara, we are not making that distinction. At this point in the Gemara, we are saying that Rav and Shmuel, who disagree about achsadra bebika for purposes of carrying, we want to part and carry over their machlokas to inyane sukkah, to pitikra by sukkah, to Abaye and Rava. And the Gemara says no, right? By what's it called? I think we lost somebody. By Shabbos. So Rava says, I'm going to agree that we'll say, Rava says that Rav will say Pitikra Yovisayim B'Shabbos, because the idea is that the ceiling is intended for the people underneath it, as opposed to our case, which is called a cloister, where it's not intended for the area underneath it. That is, that's what we're up to in the Gemara. Let's go on. Let's just try to read the next couple of lines in the Gemara. Tanan, right? It's like four lines on the top of your test. V'chein chatzar mukefes achsadra. Our Mishnah says that if I have a chatzar that's surrounded by an achsadra, which is the picture that we've been drawing the whole time. So if there is more than four amos, so that means that it's going to be no good. If this is more than four, because I cannot say dofen akuma. That's what our Mishnah says. V'amai. The Gemara says, Nema pitikra yored v'sotem. How come our Mishnah says categorically that if you have four amos, it's not kosher, that you can't have this area as a kosher thing if you have four amos. So let's say pitikra yored v'sotem. But according to Abaye, that I say pitikra, how come it's not going to be kosher in this case? So tirgum Rav libed Abaye kishve hishve et kiruyav. Rav says in explanation of Abaye, I always love this. In other words, Rava is defending his opponent. Right? Tirgama Rava Ali Bad Abaye. Rava is going to say that the case is Kishahishva et Kiruyab, that the ceiling appears like one unit. Meaning to say as follows. I can only say Pitikra Yore Besotem if it appears like the ceiling ends. So then the halacha allows me to drop that ceiling. But let's say I put the schach up in such a way that it just looks like it's an extension of the ceiling. It does not look like there's anything different. You see, now it looks different because I have pink schach and blue thing all around it. I'll just pick those colors, right? But let's say it is... it's not at all noticeable, right? Let's say the ceiling looks like, the ceiling on the side looks like it just extends all the way across. And you can't really tell the difference. That's Hishved Kiruyav. So in that case, we will not say Pitikra Yored Vesotem. In that case, Pitikra cannot work. It only works if the ceiling is noticeably different. Then I could say that the halacha drops the ceiling. But if it's not noticeably different, the halacha does not allow the ceiling to be dropped. In other words, the simple reading of our Mishnah is that if there's more than four amos on the side, I don't say dofen akuma, and therefore the thing in the middle is pasul as a sukkah. Isn't that a kasha Abaye? The answer is Abaye is going to say, no, it's not so difficult, because it's talking about hishve et kiruyav. The reason I don't say pitikra is because it's not noticeable. Now, why noticeability matters so much, I don't know, but I think what Abaye is getting at, where Rava in explanation of Abaye is getting at, is that you can't say the ceiling ends if it doesn't look like the ceiling ended. Pitikra means the ceiling has a peh, has a mouth, it ends. But if it's not noticeably over, it ain't over. So far, so good?
So the one thing that's interesting to me, and I guess, like, I can't say, oh, I dislike it. It just, I guess I don't understand it. Like when you were saying how the Rav understood Dauphin as being Mechitza plus other criterion, it's almost like now, like reading this part of the Gemara, it's almost like you don't have mechitzo plus extra sukkah stringencies. You've like gotten rid of mechitzo just completely. Like, I just feel like it's changing the definition of dofen completely by this. Yes.
Again, our entire Gemara does not seem to be working with that yesod. Right? That yesod that I mentioned in passing that the Rav spoke about, Taisus in a few places has this type of idea. But this simple reading of our Gemara is that we are completely comparing Shabbos to Sukkah, that there is zero difference between them. I'm not sure if...
But don't by shot. Like, I just feel like by saying that you have this imaginary wall because the ceiling ends, it, conceptually, it doesn't sound like you have a machlitza either. That shouldn't equal machlitza. And it Shabbos, shouldn't... we do have machlitza. I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something about Shabbos and machlitza that's not translated.
I mean, at this point, we're not making a distinction between Shabbos and Sukkah. The rule of P. Tikra Yorid V'Sosim is that a horizontal ceiling can be dropped and create a mechitza. That rule is true both by Shabbos and by Sukkah, but that rule is only true where it's noticeably over, right? Where you have a clear distinction. But if it's not noticeable, if it's Hishvet Kiruyav, so Bein Le'inyan Shabbos, Bein Le'inyan Sukkah, is not, it doesn't work. That's sort of what the Gemara is getting at. Right? This Gemara is saying that there's no distinction between Shabbos and Sukkah. Fine. Let's text email at the beginning of the week to find out how many Chevra is going to be around. We're sort of leaving this hanging. Right, what we just did is the Gemara according to Surah. The Gemara, as it's presented in Pumbedisa, just to say it outside, says that the Machlokas, Abaye, and Rava is not about P. Tikra, but rather the Machlokas, Abaye, and Rava is about whether we say Lavad. Right? The Pumbedisa version of Abaye and Rava is Dafka in the case where I have those Pitzimin, where I have those little ballasts that are, right? In that case, that's a machlokes Abaye and Rava, because maybe lavud does not help. Because again, the idea is that mechitzas only help for the direction that it faces. We'll talk about that next week or in 2 weeks, depending on. I'm happy to say shirim. It just depends if there's if the chevra's around. I know that during the summer people take vacations, stuff like that. That's what people do. Okay, any questions or comments? Okay, excellent. So thank you for coming to learn, and we'll continue. Oh, there's a chat. Someone sent something in the chat.
Yeah, Tanya went to Davin Mikla.
Oh.
Why she disappeared.
Okay, thank you and good Shabbos, Tanya. Okay, thank you, Chevra. Good Shabbos. We'll continue next week or afterwards. Let's just be in touch. And I have to do more focus in advance because these sugyas, I can't just say, look at these taisas, because these taisas are killers. Okay. Very good. Have a good night. Kol tov.
Thank you, Rabbi Schwartz.
Kol tov. Good Shabbos. Good night.